Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The farther you get away from the football, the farther you get away from football.
Olin Krutz.
You get in any kind of trouble now, you just tell them you know Kalooks.
Who is Kalooks and do you know him?
I don't know Kalooks.
14-year NFL veteran.
Do you want to outsmart them or do you want to beat them up when you win football games? And for me, when I look at the Chicago Bears, the way they build their team, they want to outsmart guys.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
In my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind. There was a 4 or 5 years, 6 years in a row that he was the best in the league at his position. So that's the guy you want to look up to.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Luther Burden, heard a lot about him. I'm just waiting for the poem about Luther Burden. I'm sure that's coming out. If this coach could lead us to a winning season, how poetic that would be. Coach Johnson's talking about there's a stumble bum. I'm sure that was right before his beautiful poem. Anyway, Ben Johnson, he knows exactly what he wants to do with Loveland. He knows exactly the poem he wants to write with his new tight end.
I take it you weren't that impressed with the poetry.
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about it. I just want to mention it 100 times in this show.
That's very passive aggressive of you.
Yes, it is. It's extremely passive aggressive of me.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Oh my God. Absolutely delightful. Olin Krutz joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Olin, would you like to talk about Ben Johnson, the poem, or just refer to it a few dozen times, perhaps?
Just refer to it a few dozen times while we go through this hit here.
I actually think passive-aggressive is good for you. That's better than aggressive at this point, right, Olin?
I feel like that's
progress for you, yes?
Yes, I'm being taught, you know, I now with my two boys in Illinois, I'm in the house with 5 women. So I learn really well. That's the aggressive fact, everybody. You know? So I've been learning from them. I'm always a student, always trying to learn from people.
It's a softer version of you.
In all honesty, though, like, take us inside. If a coach or a player does something that is a little bit ridiculous or absurd to others, you guys can then give them the business about it, and as long as they can laugh about it, everybody's all good, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, it's all fun, right? And in a team that can laugh and joke about everything and get through things, obviously, an NFL season is long, right? It's a long season. A lot of things happen. A lot of things are said, and a lot of feelings get hurt. So the faster you can laugh about it and get over it and get through things, usually the better football team you are.
Hey, man, that's all of us. Let's all stop taking ourselves so damn seriously, and we'll all do a lot better. Don't you think, Groats?
Hey, man, I'm totally going to be passive-aggressive for the rest of the show.
Keep it coming.
Yep.
So nothing's changed for you.
No, Marcus, he's still exactly who he is. You know what he said? He said, Olin, as we were talking about doing this hit, is like, man, Olin's probably got to be pretty psyched because the Bears finally used a draft asset on an offensive lineman. I mean, it might be a swing tackle. We'll see. But how about it? A second round draft pick on a tackle. What were your thoughts on them using an asset like that?
Well, I mean, they also drafted Darnell Wright, right, and Karan Amagaji last year in the third round. So they've been drafting guys and just waiting for someone to develop into, I think Coach Wansett likes to call them blue, right, blue players, elite football players that you need on that offensive line. But it's always good to see them taking offensive linemen like Ozzie Tripillo, who a lot of people have respect for. Big guy, right? Can move, blocks well. A lot of people saw him as a swing tackle. A lot of people saw him more as a right tackle. Interesting to see here Ryan Poles talk about we're going to start him over there on the left side and see how he develops, because a lot of people didn't see him that way going into the draft. But we will see. And like you're saying, we've been calling for a lot of years for them to put more assets into that O-line room. And you can't complain about the amount of assets they put into their offensive line room this year with the center, Dahlman, right, they're going to move Jonah Jackson to right guard with Tooney at left guard, and now Tripillo. And then, you know, they had another draft pick, Luke Newman, in the sixth round. So they've been adding guys, Karan Amagaji, Darnell Wright. Now we just want to see that group take another step.
Is it realistic to think, Olin, you mentioned that Ryan Poles said that they want to work Tripillo out at left tackle. Is it realistic to think that he could actually start at left tackle to begin this season?
It is realistic to think that when you think about where Braxton Jones is with his injury, right, and where he's coming off of, and they got to see where he's at after minicamp and going through the summer and going through training camp, and then Karan Amagaji and Tripillo battling maybe for that left tackle job, right? They play next to Joe Tooney, who will help a lot. Obviously, Tooney will help having a veteran presence there at left guard, a guy who's played at an all-pro level, who's played a lot of football, will help a young offensive tackle there. But it is, I think, Grody, and you're on the team a lot more than me, I think it is realistic to think that this guy could start there at left tackle as long as he shows that he can handle that position. And you got to count on, obviously, the quarterback taking another step, becoming a better football player, the ball coming out faster, and him making everybody around him better.
It's interesting to hear Bill O'Brien on the station this week, Olin, talk about how Ozzie Tripillo moved from left to right, in his words, principally because they had another kid there who could only play left. Like, he's left-handed and could only set up there, but Ozzie was somebody who could do both. Can Braxton do both? Like, if Braxton ends up as the swing for some reason, should we feel good about his ability to do both? Can anybody do both these days?
Well, I'll answer that simply. Braxton Jones could do both at Boston College, right? But doing it in the NFL is a totally different thing. So Ozzie Tripillo, we will see if he can move over and do both and play at a high level, at a level that you need to play at to protect the quarterback's blind side. So we will see. I didn't think Tripillo was a guy, when you came into the draft, I didn't think he was a guy you were going to take and start him at left tackle. But it'll be interesting seeing the Bears have done a lot more work on him than I have. Obviously, their scouts have watched a lot more film and talked to a lot of people like Bill O'Brien, like his strength coach, like his offensive line coach down there at Boston College. If you ask me personally, after watching film, I think it's a little bit of a reach to ask him to start there at left tackle early in the year. But again, if you put a really good left guard next to him, a really good center, your quarterback is taking a step. You have all these, you know, you have Rome Odunze, who took ninth in the draft. He took Loveland there at tight end, right? You have DJ Moore. You have a lot of weapons to protect one. You can't have an all-pro guys at every position, right? They have flooded that offense with a lot of talent. They went out and got what a lot of people consider was the best play caller in the NFL and made him the head coach, right? They put a lot of assets on that offense side of ball. Now it's time for that thing to all come together, and you can't have all pros at every position. So they need a guy to raise their level, come up and come and take that job. Be ready to compete, right? Be ready to compete for that left tackle spot. That's what we do here in Chicago. We find one spot on the offense, and we worry like hell about it.
Yes, we do. To your point about how you can't have gold at every position, you can't have all pro at every position, the Bears are entering a season in which they kind of missed out on the rush of running backs. I mean, I think it was in their mind to take one of those running backs. They do get Kyle Manunggay. But should we look at DeAndre Swift differently because of Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and Jonah Jackson? Does he deserve the benefit of the doubt like everybody else seems to be getting because the offensive line in theory is better now?
Yeah, I think he does, but also you can turn on his Eagles film and see him with the best offensive line in the league, right? And you can see what you got on film. That's why I was a little bit shocked last year when he came here and everybody was shocked that he wasn't running downhill between the tackles. That's not what he does, right? He didn't do that in Philadelphia. He didn't do that in Detroit, and he didn't do that here. So I was not shocked, but
obviously, going into the season, you want to give a guy the benefit of the doubt. I watched when Kyle, his name always gets me, man.
Manungai. Yeah, it's a weird one.
You know, my son's played against him. My son plays linebacker for Illinois. We watched this guy. This guy is tough, guys, man. Now, you worry about that translating to the NFL with his size, right? You worry about that downhill style. But I watched this guy drag piles. I remember telling my son, you better strap the hell up after watching him on film, because this guy is going to run downhill, run into your chest. He's going to do pass pro. He does everything right. When they took him, I was like, oh, I remember watching that kid. That kid is a tough, hard-nosed football player. So they added to that room. A lot of people thought they got a steal there in the seventh round. I'm one of those guys. I think they got a little bit of a steal. Now, how he translates to the NFL with his physical attributes, nothing jumps out at you, right? Nothing really jumps out at you in what he does. You wonder if that'll translate, you know, running over college kids and running over NFL guys. I'm going to tell you guys, it's two totally different things. But there's no way you can't like his film coming out of Rutgers. There's no way you can't like the way he played football for his team, the way he battled, how many carries he had, the things he did. So it'll be interesting going to that. But, you know, Grody, to your question, yeah, I mean, you want to see Swift, right, with Tooney, Jonah Jackson, and Dahlman, the three in the middle, right, that they put up a Brinks truck, backed it up, and dumped it to the middle of their offensive line, all that money to protect their young quarterback. Yeah, I'd like to see the way he could run behind those guys. And I don't know if we're going to have an option. Like, that's who you're going to have there at running back when you decide to take, you know, a tight end, and then you had to take a receiver the year before. You have another receiver in DJ Moore. A lot of weapons there to play with, a lot of things to beat other teams with. We will see as they go into the season.
You know, a lot of teams in the NFL will go ahead and hand at least the shared starter role of running back to a rookie. They'll just go ahead and do it these days. It's very common practice. So as they seem to, like, miss out on whether it was Henderson or Judkins from Ohio State or some of the other guys, then they would keep trading down. I'm with you, O. I think they're going to give this kid, even though he's seventh round, I think they're going to give him a real shot, sort of like the Chiefs did with Isaiah Pacheco, a seventh rounder. Like, you can find guys in the seventh round sometimes, especially at the skill positions where they're not big, tough linemen like you. Oh, like, they're just, you know, they're just runners. but it's like, I'll be okay if they don't go get a Nick Chubb or a J.K. Dobbins and they start with Manungai and Swift and let's see who else on
Roshan,
that. Maybe Roshan or
Roshan,
Ian Wheeler, who's so super speedy. If he comes back healthy, he looked good in camp last year. Like, I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it if they don't bring in another vet?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see what Coach Bieniemy. I have a lot of respect for Coach Eric Bieniemy. I think a lot of people do in the NFL, and that's the guy they hired to get into that off that running back room and develop the young running backs. But yes, like I just told you guys, I'm a fan of the young running back they took in the seventh round. I'd like to see him get some shots at that job. Obviously, I think the guys you mentioned, I don't think you're going to have to give them a ton of money to get them in there, especially with Chubb's history, injury history. I know he is a good running back before, but he's only played, I think, 10 games in the last 2 years. So there's some worry there of what he is, what he has left. Can he overcome that injury? Maybe you can get him for a bargain price. And like we talked about the offensive line room, why not put more guys into a room? And you're going to need, Spiegs, you just mentioned, you're going to need more than one running back during the year. Rarely do you see a guy make it through all 17 games, right? You're going to need guys to carry get the carries late in the season, middle of the season. You need a bunch of guys there to carry the workload. The Bears don't seem like they have that one star guy who's going to do all the work, right? Who's going to catch balls out of the backfield, who's going to run downhill between tackles. So why not do it by committee?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Olin Krutz is with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score. This was a draft that while it was happening, there were a few times where I was like, huh? What are they doing, huh? And maybe I just fell for some of the narratives that were out there in the draft prep, and I was a part of them, of course. But I've been able to contextualize and kind of like think about it and be like, oh, okay, I get that one. Okay, I get that one. Is there any pick that still sits a little weird with you? Any pick that you're still like, boy, I don't really get that. I don't understand exactly what the thought is with this particular guy.
Yeah, the only one I would say is, you know, when they took Luther Burden in the second round, who is a great football player, another guy that I've been hearing about for years playing over there at East St. Louis, right? He played the same years as my boys, and they were like, you got to watch this kid play football, and he is a hell of a football player. But I saw that they took him, and I saw New Orleans was after. New Orleans already took a tackle there in the first round. So I thought to myself, perfect time to take Ursary out of Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. The kid who was Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year. Answer your left tackle question. You need a left tackle? Take the left tackle who's the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year out of the University of Minnesota. So, hey, look, I'm not like that. I'm not high on Ozzie Trapillo. I am. I just thought that would have been a good pick, but they turned into two picks, and they got Shamar Turner, who a lot of people are high on with the way he plays football and stops a run and uses his hand and his violence in the middle of the offensive line. But that would be one, Speaks, that I would say, okay, now you had a chance there to add a guy who just plays left tackle, right? Like, just you had all your answers there. You had Darnell Wright. You had your whole line. Plug that guy in. Let him compete against Braxton Jones and Kron Amagaji. Instead, you left a little questions out there. So that's one a little bit that I'll be looking at down the years, obviously, a Monday morning quarterback, right? Like, why didn't you just take the left tackle? But that's one. If you ask me what I'm looking at, that would be it.
There was a point last season, I think it was the Arizona game, where I realized, oh, no, the defense might not be that great. The run defense mm-hmm. may not be mm-hmm. because James Conner was doing his thing. Amari DiMarcado had that, like, 58-yard run at the end of the half, and you're like, mm-hmm. what the hell is going on? The Bears this year signed, that was very passive-aggressive, Grady yes. Jarrett this year, mm-hmm. and they go and draft Shamar Turner. How much better, if at all, do you think the defensive line will be this year?
And I don't got to tell you this, Gross, but so is Billings coming back, right? They missed yes. him a lot last year. I think he got hurt, right? I think it was yeah. that game or the game before.
But, you love Billings.
Grady Jackson. Yeah. Yes, as you guys know. Really do like Andrew Billings. I love the way he plays football. They were playing him at 3 technique last year. That's how good of a football player. That's how the level he was playing at. But, yeah, they take Shamar Turner to bring in Grady Jarrett. Grady Jarrett, his film speaks for itself. Obviously, he's getting a little older, but there's young guys like Javon Dexter. You want to see him take another step, put him next to Montez Sweat, right? So it's just kind of I may not agree with everything they did to rebuild their lines, but they have rebuilt them in the way that they want to rebuild them, right? So we'll see if their plan works out. But like you're saying, Billings coming back, Grady Jarrett, they got an extra second round pick. I'm saying they shouldn't have. I'm saying stick there, take the left tackle, but they did, right? They got Shamar Turner. They add him to the room. I don't know how you can't love the violence that young man puts on film oh, yeah. with his hands and the way he unrolls his hips and the way he gets rid of offensive linemen. You do love that with Javon Dexter. Hopefully Pickens can learn from these guys, maybe take a step. I don't know if he's the odd man out now in this group. But they have added assets to the line rooms, which Speaks knows I've been screaming about for too long now.
Yeah, you have. Man, you know, the Burden pick, I feel you, Ode. Like, I really like it because I think it's going to mm-hmm. let Ben Johnson be creative. But mm-hmm. Does this feel different than last year when it was so obvious that they were falling in love with the weaponry, you know, and they thought they could be this cute ass three wide receiver team that threw it with Shane Waldron and then trick you into then being able to run. Like Ben's thought process, I think, is different. Does it feel different? Even though they spent assets on tight end and wide receiver, does it feel a little different?
Yeah, and a tight end is basically another wide receiver, right?
So, yeah.
When you look at it, and the kids, his route running is exceptional. He did have that shoulder injury that you worry about a little bit when you watch him on film last year. They weren't using him in line. Sometimes you can see him grabbing his shoulder, and maybe that affected his blocking. And as young as he is, maybe he can grow. And he's a big guy, right? He's 6'6", 250. I mean, that kind of guy can grow into a blocking tight end. But like you're saying, Spiegs, you worry a little bit about, pass-catching tight end, then a wide receiver. You guys heard me say on the draft show, it just seems like they're drafting guys to outsmart everybody, put my weapons on the field. And look, with Ben Johnson and the way they do things, that could work. But as you guys know me and the way I look at football, line up, beat them up. Let's win football games that way. But they did. They did get offensive linemen, right? They went and got Ozzie Trapillo. That's not a low pick in the second round. They got Shamar Turner there too. So they did get two more picks, get two more linemen to put in to that to those rooms to beat guys up, to get after guys late in December at Soldier Field. How do we win football games? Got to run downhill, got to make plays, got to make the tough yards, get the tough gains, get after people. So we will see as this goes on. And people are really high on Luther Bird, and you can see why when he catches the ball and after the catch and the kind of handful he is for nickelbacks and linebackers to cover him in the slot. So like the plan, I got to be honest, when I take a step back, there's things that, you know, we all say, man, I would have done this, because it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback when you're not in the building up there at Halas Hall. But when you take a step back and look at everything they've done this offseason with the coaching staff, with the guys they sign in free agencies, with the draft pick, this is a vastly improved football team. And if you think about the guys they've already have in that building, you say to yourself, okay, man, it's time for them to take a step, right? It's time for Darnell Wright to become an all-pro. It's time for him to become an all-pro, to take a leadership role in that locker room. Time for Romo Dunze to take a step. Caleb, of course, man, he's the guy. Right, we're talking about all this stuff. It's been a luxury this year, guys, not to talk about the quarterback. Don't talk about the quarterback, but it's been a luxury for us to complain about other things. Why can't the Bears take all these other positions? Because they got their quarterback, man. And that, when you check that off, and he's got to take a step, and he's got to play better. And if he does, and all of a sudden you got the mind that we all think Ben Johnson is he a leader? Can he be a head coach at his young age? Can Declan Doyle take a step, help him create schemes and plays against other teams? But as you guys can hear in my voice, the more I look at this team, the more I look at the way they're built, they got a chance, man. Now, guys got to take steps. Guys got to improve. Guys got to show they can do the things that they're capable of doing. But they have now. Ryan Poles has built a team that looks like they can maybe take a step if everyone grows the way they're supposed to grow together.
So with all that goodness, Olin, and that was great, yes, do these guys now look better in their suits? Does Kevin, does Warren look better in his suit? Does Ben Johnson look better in his suit?
It is time to write poems, right? We all write poems now, right? Go to Byron Piccolo Award Ceremony, write a poem, throw your linebacker under the bus. You know, that's all the feel-good moments that we can do there. But
who did they throw under the bus?
It's just that.
TJ Edwards, right? He said, right.
You did say that.
That was the bus running him over. But hey, he got a new contract, so he's just laughing about it, right? I got my money. I'm good. They haven't won, right? They have one winning season in 12 years, right? So it leaves you skeptical. It leaves you thinking about this football team and can they get moving in the right direction? And then can they create the thing, guys, that everyone always talks about in football but no one can describe? Can they create culture there, a winning culture, do things that it takes week in and week out to win in the NFL, which is extremely hard to do. Mm-hmm. But we will see as this year goes on.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Olin, you're the man. That's a good looking Miami of Ohio volleyball sweatshirt you're rocking right there. Congrats.
Thank you.
Congrats to your daughter, Grace, a commit for the 2025 yes. team.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool. What's her level of toughness and competitiveness?
Toughest kid I got. Yeah? Tougher than the two boys in Illinois. she will compete. Now she competes on a volleyball court. She gets after people. There is something we expect in this house, as you guys know me by now, and we hold people to that standard.
That's awesome.
Those poor boys.
Well, hey man, it's like you got to be a badass to be as good as she is, and on her way to Miami. Thanks, Olin. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, guys. Man, have a great day.
All right, man. You got it. Yeah, I saw the sweatshirt. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And then I'm here on the Miami Redhawks website, right? And the coach of the Miami Redhawks on Grace Kreutz, quote, Grace is a great athlete and incredibly competitive.
That's fantastic.
Is the quote about Grace.
The boys are listening like, what the hell, Dad?
Yeah. She's one of those people who's going to find her way onto the court no matter what,
nice.
Even as a freshman.
Nice. Strengths and weaknesses, go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't break it down. Grace will be fun to watch. There's no doubt she will bring it to our gym every day.
Wow.
Does that sound like a Kreutz or what?
I was going
to
say, that definitely sounds like a 57.
Damn right. 670 The Score. It's Spiegs and Mark Grody on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Let's give some love to a departing legend. And add some context on what we think makes a goat. We'll do it next on The Score.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.